He kind of started all the plants growing, and he started people. Well, I guess he's kind of big and fat.
He can see us whatever we do. Whatever we do, he has such powerful eyes. He doesn't have millions and thousands and billions. And he can still see us when we're bad.
He could be sitting on the table right now, but you can't see him.
He can't be everywhere at once doing everything for everybody. Everybody can't get what they want.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this live broadcast on Memorial Day. My name is David Stovenel, and this is Operation Restore Christian America as the overall name of this effort. And today's broadcast is named A Closer Look at the Clinton Global Initiative, Part 2. And as I've described in the past and tried to convince and encourage everyone to watch the made-for-TV miniseries America, spelled with a K, that is posted on GenuineChristianityNow.com in a series of segments that are about an hour long or less. Before I begin reading from the Clinton Global Initiative paper that I began with last week, I do want to say something about in memory of someone that was killed in Vietnam. He enlisted in the service with me. His name was Gerald Stephen DeLong, and he died in battle on the 12th of October, 1970. Rest in peace, Jerry. All right, anyway, last week I went through a couple of pages of reading from this paper that it can be accessed, and you have to go to the articles section because it's off of the main pages. This was posted a few days ago, and I really do encourage each and every one of you to read it. It's called the Clinton Global Initiative, to get a full picture of this assessment, this profound analysis of the made-for-TV movie, America. Anyway, last week, I read these couple of things that I'll repeat because of their deep importance. Many of the British Freemasons that were intimately involved in setting up the Fabian Society in 1884 were also involved in setting up the Rhodes Trust, principally the British Rothschilds. So, ladies and gentlemen, that would indicate that the Rothschild banking family is subordinate to the King of Great Britain, and please don't confuse that and get it turned the other way around. And the King of Great Britain, as I've mentioned many times in my broadcast, is apostate. He knows about Christianity, and he talks Christian language when he wants to deceive and confuse people, but he is an apostate. Anyway, to continue, in his 1888 revised will, Rhodes said, quote, "In considering questions suggested, take constitution of the Jesuits, if obtainable, and insert English empire for Roman Catholic religion," end of quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm digressing again, but that's called plagiarism, and if a student did that in college, he would get dismissed from his college. At the very least, he would be heavily disciplined with poor grades and some opprobrium from the instructor. And the reference for that quote is The World's Banker by Niall Ferguson, pages 881 to 890. And that is what Nathaniel Natty Rothschild did in setting up the Rhodes Trust with Milner. Before he became British Prime Minister in 1997, Tony Blair was chairman of the Fabian Society. He is now also a secret leading member of the Clinton Global Initiative. More about the following. Apostate Protestantism is 1,000 times more subtle and insidious than Roman Catholicism. Members of the Fabian Society created and still do control the world's labor parties, Soviet communism, German, Italian, and American fascism. Rhodes and Fulbright scholars now dominate virtually all of the world's largest business corporations, governments, the UN, and the control and running of the Roman Catholic Church, including the Jesuits. Rhodes and Fulbright scholarships now provide the most prestigious awards and honors of all the leading Jesuit universities around the world, the United States being no exception. Bill Clinton was awarded the Rhodes Scholarship at America's leading Jesuit university, Georgetown. Now, after that paragraph, there is a number of other profoundly significant people, an entire list of probably 30 or 40 names that I'll skip over now to get to some other valuable and important information in this paper. And this paper, incidentally, was written about 15 years ago, but it's more important now than then, because now there is a full-blown apostate sovereign ruling over the West and going for the whole world. So anyway, I'll continue on a little further into this article with the heading, The Fabian Society Connection. Donald Rye, that's spelled W-R-Y-E, Donald Rye, who incidentally wrote the movie and directed the movie America, Jessica Mitford, Gordon Brown, J.K. Rowling, and Harry Potter. Donald Rye, the executive producer, director, and sole writer of America, is also, like Tony Blair, a Fabian socialist and Marxist. He filmed most of America in Toronto, Ontario, and at Tecumseh in Nebraska. One of the co-founders of the Fabian Society in 1884 was Sidney Webb. His wife was Beatrice Potter, whose father, Richard Potter, wrote a number of occult children's books, which were later resurrected by the Tavistock Institute, which is Britain's global mind control center, and given to J.K. Rowling to write their Fabian socialist propaganda books called Harry Potter. Sidney and Beatrice Webb wrote a book entitled Soviet Communism, A New Civilization. Colonel I.M. Bogolyubov, a former Red Army officer attached to the Soviet Foreign Office, 1930-36, appeared before the U.S. Senate Committee on the Judiciary on 7th April 1952 and stated that the entire text had been written by himself in the Soviet Foreign Office. J.K. Rowling is not the person the media would have us believe. Rowling is a longtime close personal friend of Fabian, British Prime Minister at the time, Gordon Brown, and his wife Sarah, with whom she collaborated on a book of children's stories to aid the charity One Parent Families. In July 2006, at the time of the birth of Gordon and Sarah Brown's son John, J.K. Rowling was one of the first people to visit the couple at the Royal Infirmary of Edinburgh. Indeed, Rowling named her first son, born on 23 March 2003, from her current marriage, David Gordon Rowling Murray, after Gordon Brown. J.K. Rowling has quite openly and publicly stated that since age 14, her greatest heroine and most influential writer has been the communist, British-born American writer Jessica Mitford. Rowling says that she has read everything Mitford ever wrote. She has even named her daughter, Jessica Rowling Arantes, after her. Several of Rowling's characters in the Harry Potter series are named after characters in Mitford's book, A Fine Old Conflict. The Fabian socialist influence on Mitford, on Rowling's writings, is immense. Dobby, the house elf, the one who insists on negotiating fair compensation for his labor, is named after the woman who introduced Mitford to the Communist Party, USA, and gave her a copy of Howard Fast's Citizen, Tom Paine, for a wedding present when Mitford married civil rights lawyer Bob Truhoff. Mitford and Truhoff became active members of the Communist Party during the Red Scare, and in 1953 they were both summoned to testify in front of the House Un-American Activities Committee. Mitford also wrote a book published in 1963 called The American Way of Death. Mitford's sisters, Unity and Diana, were well-known British supporters of Hitler, and her father was described as being one of nature's fascists. The character, Harry Potter, in Rowling's books is a young socialist, Hitler-Stalin-type hero figure. J.K. Rowling is a rabid socialist, and her writings, like Mitford's, are designed to destroy the Christian faith and family structure, bring about the death of America, and seduce all of the children of the world to worship the soon coming British National Socialist leader, which is an oxymoron because British Israel World Freemasonry is globalist, and it's globalism to the bone. Anyway, to continue, I digressed again, of course. Beatrice and Sidney Webb's ashes were ceremoniously interred in Westminster Abbey on December 12, 1947. So the present Queen Elizabeth II clearly knows all about it. Digressing once again, ladies and gentlemen, this paper was written before Queen Elizabeth II died by several years. The Royal Institute of International Affairs and Chatham House Rule. Another co-founder of the Fabian Society was George Bernard Shaw. He created the coat of arms of the society, a wolf in sheep's clothing. The major Fabian socialist training school in the world is the London School of Economics. Its major policy think tank unit is the Royal Institute of International Affairs, founded in 1920, now called Chatham House, of which all of the world's institutes of international affairs are secretly sub-branches and a part, including the U.S. Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. Apart from a few public meetings, almost all of their important meetings now are held under what they call the Chatham House Rule, which binds all of the participants under oath of strict secrecy, enslavement, I would call it, based on British Freemasonry's United Grand Lodge of England motto, Avi Vide Tace, which translated means hear, see, be silent. Digressing once again, ladies and gentlemen, just to make a short comment. If this is not one of the most insidious enslavement programs ever conceived by diabolical minds, I can't imagine what would be, because right within this oath of strict secrecy is an enslavement system. And I implore those of you that feel like you are in a bondage you cannot escape from, turn to Jesus Christ, read the New Testament, starting in the book of 1 John would be what I would suggest, and just pray to God through the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver you from that evil, because it is evil. The United Grand Lodge of England, worldwide globalist Freemasonry, is evil. Not the people. What I'm doing is I'm doing like a delicate surgery here, only it's intellectual. I'm extracting evil through my words from people that are held in bondage to a death cult, a globalist death cult. Anyway, to continue, because Russia is heavily in the news again for over a year now, since the February before last. Moscow, State Institute of International Relations, MGIMO, Chatham House's Russian sub-branch is called the Moscow State Institute of International Relations, founded on October 14, 1944. Sergei Krylov, one of the communist founding fathers of the MGIMO, was also one of the leading authors of the UN Charter. No surprise there, ladies and gentlemen. In the movie America, do you know that Colonel Andrei Denisov, played by Sam Neill, the Soviet administrator for the American Central Administrative Area, is a real person? In the movie, Andrei's immediate superior and mentor is General Petya Semenov, played by Armin Mueller-Stahl. The Soviet military leader in charge of the occupation is also another real person. His real name is Vladimir Semenov, a Russian general. Do you know that Donald Rye's utter contempt of the American public's apathy, ignorance, and gullibility was so great when he created the movie, he even, like Hitler, wrote down his devilish plans in Mein Kampf long before the event, had the sheer audacity to write real, living, communist Russian characters into the plot of his movie to precondition the brainless American public to accept what is soon coming? Do you know that Andrei I. Denisov is not only a real, living person? He actually graduated from the Moscow State Institute of International Relations in 1974, the Russian sub-branch of the Royal Institute of International Affairs in London, and in December 2001 to July 2004, he was Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Russian Federation, Russian Ambassador to the United Nations, 2004 to 2006. Do you know that more recently, Mr. Denisov has actually been chairing the UN's Counterterrorism Committee based in New York City, and he is now working closely with the Organization of American States that is soon to be used to destroy the United States of America by merging Canada, USA, and Mexico into a federation of states similar to the Russian Federation or the European Union called the North American Union. Ultimately, all of the South American countries will join as well to form one global region, all to be governed as administrative areas or regions in a world government, United Soviet Socialist Republic, just exactly as Donald Rye had Colonel Andrei Denisov, played by Sam Neill, doing in his movie America, played in 1987. The soon coming British burning of a sleeping America. Do you know that, according to, and then there's a website listed there on this paper that I hope you read entirely. It's at genuinechristianitynow.com in the articles. Just press the articles button and you'll easily locate it. It's titled The Clinton Global Initiative. Do you know that according to that website, the New Zealand actor Sam Neill's great-great-grandfather actually aided in burning down the White House in the War of 1812? In spite of the film's blatant anti-patriotic American plot and the fact 19% of all TV households throughout the United States viewed the program in 1987, ABC research indicated 96% of the entire U.S. population over 18 years of age did not object to the brazen, controversial content. And I might digress once again and say there's soft porn in it with bedroom scenes that are not, it isn't open nudity, but nevertheless, that's one of the brazen, controversial things on network television, ABC television in 1987. Talk about blatant impending national judgment coming upon this once great Christian nation, America, that is now almost sound asleep, having turned away from God. Bill and Hillary Clinton already chosen to destroy the presidency of America. If the central characters in the plot of America and other, now, if is a huge word, because new actors can come in and stand in for the old actors as they die or else just fade away as a result of lack of popularity or end up getting, hopefully getting indicted and then prosecuted for crimes against the American people and people worldwide. Anyway, if the central characters in the plot of America and other key British propaganda movies like Gladiator or Harry Potter are reenacted in the real-life individuals they represent, then it seems that President George Bush Jr. will be the last full-term serving United States president who will soon lead America and indeed the entire world into a period of widespread chaos triggered by a major war in the Middle East, be assassinated and be succeeded by Bill Clinton, a Rhodes Scholar, and his wife Hillary, who have already been chosen secretly not to lead the nation under any new presidency, but to treacherously destroy it and make the nation a leper colony of the British sovereign, while temporarily, during the reforms, give it a new Russian name, America, with a K, led by a governor general or deputy governor general type transitional administrator, who, in case you don't know, in Commonwealth countries, is literally the British sovereign's personal representative. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you start hearing the words governor general and deputy governor general, then that is the time to know that there is a war being perpetrated against us by the British king and his wicked minions. In this secret society are the leaders. Clinton Global Initiative. Now, if you don't believe America is very soon to become effectively a new leper colony of Great Britain, or more correctly, the City of London Corporation, as the apostate Protestant British sovereign cunningly takes over the world, or you don't believe that Hillary and Bill have not already been chosen to lead America into a New World Order dictatorial Fabian socialist fascist police state of tyranny and terror, then why not take a small peek at the Clinton Global Initiative list of 2,000 members? 2007 members. Membership is by invitation only, and until relatively recently, the membership list was kept largely secret and confidential, but not now. Digression once more, ladies and gentlemen. That list is in the articles section on my website, genuinechristianitynow.com. If you go to genuinechristianitynow.com, then click on the button articles. The Clinton Global Initiative list is easy to find. And just as an example of one man that was presented as a staunch Republican during this time period, about a little over 15 years ago, just word search the name Bill Frist, or remember for yourself. Now, this is a senator, a very well accomplished doctor, a senator from Dixie, from rebel country, a staunch Republican in appearance only. Bill Frist is one of the names out of 49 pages of names, one of the names on that list. I invite each and every one of you that are listening to search out information about Bill Frist and then ask yourself, what is he doing in an organization that is by invitation only, that is called the Clinton Global Initiative? And we all now know that both Bill and Hillary Clinton are Democrats and gangsters, criminal gangsters. We know this. It's just that the system is now it's an almost entirely closed system, but it's not quite totally closed. It's like a labor union that's an almost closed shop, is the way I would like to describe it. Anyway, just ask yourself, what is Bill Frist doing among this group of people unless he's just as much of a stinking traitor as Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton into betraying the American people into an entirely subversive foreign power and organization? Continuing on in this paper, here you will see the incredible power behind Bill and Hillary Clinton on this extensive 49-page list. For example, on the list are many of the world's most powerful media representatives, bankers, the Rothschilds, etc. There are well over 1,000 leading individuals on the list that are secretly funding and supporting the Clintons. On the list are people like Sir Evelyn de Rothschild, former recent chairman of N.M. Rothschild & Sons in London, and his American-born wife, Lady Lynn Forster de Rothschild, who are secretly funding Bill and Hillary Clinton, including Senator Hillary Clinton's campaign for president. Sir Evelyn and his wife spent their honeymoon in the White House with Bill and Hillary when Clinton was president. One of Forrester's two sons from her previous marriage to Andrew Stein, Ben Stein, actually secretly works for Hillary Clinton, and the other, Jake Stein, for mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg, who is also, naturally, a member of the CGI. Also on the list, for example, is perhaps a much less well-known personality, Jane Nelson. Who is she? Not only is she another former Rhodes Scholar, she is CEO of the Prince of Wales Business Leaders Forum, now called the Business Leaders Forum, through which Prince Charles indirectly controls almost every major corporation in the world. Media moguls behind the Clintons CGI. Gail Asper, president of the Asper Foundation, is another of the CGI list. Who is she? Her father, the late Izzy Israel Asper, a Canadian Jew, founded the giant Canadian media company, CanWest Global Communications Corp. The multi-billion dollar company owns a big proportion of newspapers and television stations in Canada, and until mid-2007, two of the four major public TV stations and all of the 142 radio stations in New Zealand, apart from two. It owns media assets in Australia, Malaysia, Indonesia, Singapore, Turkey, and the UK. When you've got all the world's media controlled by despots like Asper, who are at the same time members of the Clinton Global Initiative and Hillary Clinton running for president, there is not much point in voting at all in any election. On October 20, I disagree with that, but I'll digress about that later. On October 20th, 2007, New Star Books published a book written by Mark Edge entitled Asper Nation, Canada's Most Dangerous Media Company. The book exposes how the Aspers wickedly manipulate, censor, and control through their media empire important information against the public interest, against democracy, and push their British globalist, socialist, political agenda. I'm going to read on a little further after I digress into this one point I disagree with about the voting. I think voting should be carried on in America primarily and principally, but others could use this suggestion as well, and I think it would be helpful to some degree. I think every family of Christians should begin practicing and set up a family Christian kingdom that consists of family members only, to try to begin practicing how to make wiser decisions than spontaneous decisions and Aleister Crowley's bad advice of just do what thou wilt. Because within a family structure that you self-recognize as a family of Christians, initiating a family Christian kingdom and practicing righteousness instead of this kind of monstrous wickedness that I'm describing here to you, it might be something of a suggestion of how we can once again recover from the decadence and crime and violence that we see all around us now. A bit more reading on this, and then we're going to change the topic of conversation to an extraordinary speech that was given in Texas a number of years ago titled Truth is the New Hate Speech. It was by Pamela Geller. And if you want to word search it for yourself or write down and word search it later if you're traveling, it's the entire title of the article to find it on YouTube, because the algorithms have absolutely pushed it to the bottom of the list, but it's Banned Speech at the Hyatt. Pamela Geller, Truth is the New Hate Speech. Excuse me, I have to take a drink of water. Anyway, one more brief paragraph, and then we're going to a couple of short clips from her speech. After Gail Asper's father's death in 2003, she and her two brothers, David and Leonard, took over the company. Her brother David is a former trustee of the Fraser Institute in Canada. One of the leading publications of the Fraser Institute is a book called The Case for the Amero, The Economics and Politics of a North American Monetary Union, 1999. This is one of the key Commonwealth agencies responsible for the Fabian Plan to abolish the United States of America and create the North American Union, abolish the U.S. dollar, and replace it with a new regional currency called the Amero. Like her father previously, she was awarded the Order of Manitoba by the Queen in 2007. In the Canadian province of Manitoba, when a lieutenant governor, the Queen's representative, is sworn in, by virtue of his office, he automatically becomes a member of the order and chancellor of the order. The pervasive power of the British sovereign is insidious. Other powerful global media controllers who are secretly members of CGI are Larry Brilliant, executive director of Google, Larry Page, co-founder and president of Google, Gabriel Fitzgerald, program officer, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Tom Brokaw, special correspondent, NBC News, and an entire list beyond that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll stop at that, and there will be a part three next week for the travelers, for the people that are listening on the many radio stations that are picking up this broadcast, this podcast. And I thank each and every one of you for your close attention to this matter. And I thank each and every one of you that are sending emails. And I do try with all my time, waking time, to answer every one of them and be patient and you'll get an answer. But anyway, we're going to go to a couple of brief clips from Pamela Geller's 39-minute speech at the in Texas, and it's titled "Truth is the New Hate Speech." So please, Mr. Producer, would you start that?
Because of the OIC mandates. They are very powerful in the UN, they are very powerful in the EU, and here you had the President of the United States, President Barack Hussein Obama, co-sponsoring a resolution at the UN to restrict free speech. It's unbelievable. And the media tells you nothing. The media hears no evil, sees no evil, speaks no evil. And how deeply have we been infiltrated? When you have a Pentagon, when you have a Department of Defense issue a final report on the Fort Hood jihadi, a devout Muslim who came out on Grand Rounds, made a PowerPoint presentation on Grand Rounds that's so succinct, I use it sometimes, who is wearing the garb of the Shaheed the morning of his jihad, who was screaming Allah Akbar, which means Allah is greater. Greater than what? Greater than your God. It's supremacist. Allah is greater. Was giving out Qurans the morning of his jihad, had Soldier of Allah on his business card, said Soldier of Allah, and nowhere in the DOD's report did they mention religious motivation. How long do you think that you're going to avoid the inevitable in this Operation Fetal Position? The Department of Justice is creating whole Muslim majority legislative districts for voting based on the racial paradigm they created for districting based on race. Do you know about that? The Department of Justice scuttled the prosecutions of the 300 groups named in the largest terrorist funding trial in our nation's history, the Holy Land trial, groups, Muslim Brotherhood groups, who, according to an internal captured document, entered into that case. Their stated goal is to eliminate and destroy Western civilization from within and sabotage its miserable house so that Allah is victorious. Their stated goal, their words. And instead, the Department of Justice sues a school district who didn't allow a teacher, a new teacher, a probationary teacher, the only math lab teacher on their staff, to go on Hajj. She wanted to take a month off. They said, you can't. You're our only math lab teacher. Well, Holda sued the school. By the way, they settled. She gets $75,000 plus legal expenses. This is happening every day. This is happening every day. There's no hate here. Listen, I'm a lover. Why am I doing this? Why do I subject myself to this? I do it for art, for music, for love, and for freedom. Because I love this country. Because I grew up so completely and utterly free that when I was a kid, we used to say to each other, it's a free country, isn't it? It's a free country. You don't hear that anymore. Because it's inherently not. And I do see a leftist Islamic alliance. And clearly, Muslims are welcome here. This idea of anti-Muslim backlash, another deception, another lie. According to this most recent stats from the FBI, anti-Muslim crime is down to its lowest levels since 9/11. Anti-Semitic crime is at historic worldwide levels. You ever hear about that? No.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. The last sentence was anti-Semitic crime is at historic worldwide levels. Now, the term anti-Semite and anti-Semitic are a very generalizing term. I get that. I know that. But in general, what it means is that a crime has been perpetrated by someone that is Jewish. We get that too, don't we? But it's a sad fact that the people that want more power, that are Jewish, abuse the term anti-Semitic. I get that. Now, Pamela Geller is Jewish. And God bless Pamela Geller for her stand for what? Say it together with me, ladies and gentlemen. For free speech. For free speech. It's the First Amendment. It's our First Amendment. So it's a very necessary to define who the enemy is and what the enemy is doing and what is the name of their God that they serve and worship. Anyone that has studied Freemasonry to any degree that is not a Freemason and just wants to know why they murder people, such as, for example, Captain William Morgan out in Batavia, New York, in the first part of the 19th century. Captain William Morgan was a Freemason that wrote a rather benign booklet, a very small book, that was revealing some of the benign secrets about their organization and membership. He was tortured and murdered. And it was proven. And the greatest president we had investigated it very deeply. He investigated the murder of Captain William Morgan by writing to the most significant and profound Freemason that were living at the time of that murder. And that is an important subject matter to investigate and study in order to understand that Freemasonry is a murderous thing. Freemasonry is murderous because they serve and worship a god named Lucifer. And for those of you that are not great Bible students, and I'm not being disparaging here, but Lucifer is an alias of the name Satan. So tying that together is a good place to begin with trying to figure out and understand what motivates people to murder other people in the name of world domination, because that's what Freemasonry is about, and that's not an overstatement. Anyway, we're going to go on to a second brief cut from her speech there, and I encourage each and every one of you to write down or look it up. It's Banned Speech at Hyatt, Pamela Geller, Truth is the New Hate Speech, and listen through it for yourself. It will be posted on the website after the broadcast. So would you please go ahead with that, Mr. Producer?
When I was in Israel, dedicating a grove of trees to the victims of honor killings worldwide, they were shelling Israel from Egypt, first time in 30 years. Have you heard about that? The 30 Christians that were slaughtered last week, 300 hurt. Send some troops there. I don't believe in sending troops, by the way, unless it's a matter of national security. I don't know what we're doing in Africa. I don't know what we're doing in Libya. What are we doing in Libya? You know what Libya is now? Libya is falling into the hands of Al-Qaeda and jihadists. Is Gaddafi a good guy? Hell no! Is Al-Qaeda and jihad better? Worse. Worse. There are degrees. There are degrees of damage. There are degrees of evil. You explain to me his foreign policy. He sides with the enemy every time. And it's not just Obama. We have been infiltrated. When I hear that Heidi Keith in the audience is going to be running for office, I say, Baruch Hashem. This is what we need to do. You need to get politicians in office who get it. Ilario Pantano is running. I don't care if you don't live, he is in North Carolina. Send him money. He gets it. I have to tell you that there's no way you can escape this issue. And the more you avoid it, it's like you're supposed to play a tennis match and you don't show up. What do you think? The match didn't happen? No, you forfeited the game. That's what's happening. The fact that we protested that mosque and we would not let up. And how did we get the word out? How did I get 40,000 people to ground zero on September 11th? Let me tell you something. I've been writing that story since November 2010. You did it. You made that the number one story of 2010 and the number one international story of 2010. The media wouldn't touch that story, but everybody kept sending around these little stories. Hey, look at Ground Zero Mosque, what? And then my first rally, which I expected a couple hundred people and we got like 8,000 people, somebody took a post of mine and just took the pictures, didn't a link, text, nothing, just the pictures of against the mosque. And that email went viral. I was getting my own pictures. Hey, did you see this? Like 20 times a day. And that's when the media woke up. So do not think for one second that what you do is not important. Do not believe for one second that the individual can't change the course of human events. Because the individual can and does and will change the course of human events. This is a unique and brilliant and magnificent experiment, America, in human history. Oh, it really is. We're in it, so we can't really see the beauty of it. But America is the first moral government in the history of man based on individual rights. Yes, it deserves to be. Yes. The first. And everything noble and brilliant and magnificent we achieved was a logical fidelity to that principle. That's what I'm fighting for. I'm not fighting against anything. I will oppose anyone that dares to take my freedom. I will not live for the sake of another man, and I will not ask another man to live for the sake of me. And it's important that you get involved in this fight. You say, how? Well, I will tell you how. I'm glad you asked me that question. When you wake up in the morning and you rub the sleep from your eyes, you first thing you ask yourself, what am I going to do today to save the Republic? I don't care if it's just sending an article around. When you throw that little pebble in the water, you send it around, she sends it around, he sends it around. That's it. We are our own media. We are the media of one. And I know it's difficult. And I know it's a leapfrog. And I know, listen, you see, the Muslim Brotherhood groups are actually getting the FBI to stop talking to anyone critical of Islam, no matter how heralded the scholar. From Ibn Warraq, you know, to Robert Spencer. So what is this? And then in the schools, when your children are taught that curriculum, you are disarming the children. You are disarming law enforcement, and it all comes down to you. It doesn't have to be this way. It's certainly winnable. You will not like what comes after America.
My friends, did you hear that? You will not like what comes after America. Pamela Geller is Jewish. What in the world is she doing saying something that inspiring if it's a Jewish conspiracy and not a satanic conspiracy? A Lucifer worshiper satanic conspiracy. There are Jews involved. There's no question about that. As a matter of fact, numerically, Jews are heavily involved and on the bandwagon, because if there's anything as what would be called a way upper middle class, it would be Jews. It would be the Jews that work in the City of London, incorporated inside of London. A lot of people are aware that there is a distinction there that I just described, that there is a small area called the City of London Incorporated that is the center of worldwide banking and legalism. And it is heavily, heavily saturated by Jews. And most people know that. But almost no one is aware of the fact that the British sovereign, the King of Great Britain, has a veto power over the City of London Incorporated. And as soon as you grasp that fact, and it is a fact, it's a gentleman's agreement that reaches back literally to the occupation of William the Conqueror, when the system was beginning to first be set up, there was a gentleman's agreement for a banking and legal area that would be preeminent. So these things are necessary and important to know. And now I'm going to go back and just provide you with a few more names for those of you that are traveling and listening on the radio, as opposed to those of you that want to research it on the computer at your homes. I'm going back to the Clinton Global Initiative paper that reveals this insidious demonic plan that the British sovereign and his subordinates have and are in fact carrying out, and it's up to us to repudiate this wickedness and to arrest these criminals. Other secret British fascist supporters of the Clintons you may have missed. Now, there are a full 49 pages of names of key people around the world like these who are members of the Clinton Global Initiative, who are, in reality, secret British agents working for the Queen and British monarchy behind the scenes, funding and supporting Bill and Hillary Clinton. Here are a few more examples that might be of interest. Reverend Jim Ball, President and CEO, Evangelical Environmental Network. Tammy Opperley, Director, Heinz Company Foundation. Maria Blair, Associate Vice President and Managing Director, the Rockefeller Philanthropy Foundation. Tony Blair, former British Prime Minister. Carol Browner, Principal, the Albright Group. Edgar M. Bronfman, he's now deceased, but this is a paper from more than 15 years ago. Bronfman Associates. Wesley Clark, Senior Fellow, UCLA's Burkle Center for International Relations. Wesley, a Rhodes Scholar, led the military op and mass murdered the Christians at Waco, Texas on the 19th of April, 1993, a Monday morning that was initiated. And it was exactly 50 years to the day when Adolf Hitler initiated and launched the burning of the ghetto in Poland, of the Jewish ghetto. And that was a Monday morning also. Quite coincidental, wouldn't you say? Anyway, continuing. Abby Joseph Cohen, Managing Director, Goldman Sachs. William Daly, Vice Chairman, J.P. Morgan Chase & Company. Leslie Datch, EVP, Corporate Affairs and Government Relations, Walmart Stores, Baroness Ariane de Rothschild, Edmund and Benjamin de Rothschild Foundations, David de Rothschild, John de Goya, President Georgetown University, Jim Donald, President and CEO Starbucks Coffee Company, Alex Ehrlich, Managing Director UBS AG, Europe's biggest bank, Dr. Mohammed El Asri, Senior Fellow United Nations Foundation, Deborah Grossman, Vice President, Public Policy, Monsanto Company. Digressing again for a second, Monsanto, I traced that family back to Sephardic Portuguese Jews, so from about 500 plus years ago. To continue, Gary Hatton, President, Deutsche Bank, Americas, Reverend Bill Hybels, Senior Pastor, Willow Creek Community Church, Secretary General Jose Miguel Insulza, the Secretary General Organization of American States. Remember the agency that is to be used to soon destroy and break up the United States? Leo Kaden, Vice Chairman, Citigroup, Paul Martin, former Prime Minister of Canada, Andrew Mitchell, Senior Advisor of the Prince of Wales Rainforest Project, Secretary General Amre Moussa, Secretary General of the League of Arab States, Secretary General Marku Niskala, Secretary General, International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Society, Jonathan Oppenheimer, Head of Chairman's Office, De Beers Family of Companies, Ariel Pablos Mendez, Managing Director, the Rockefeller Foundation, Carter Roberts, President, World Wildlife Fund, catch this, folks, Klaus Schwab, Founder and Executive Chairman, World Economic Forum, USA, catch this, folks, George Soros, Chairman Soros Fund Management, catch this, folks, Rick Warren, Pastor, Saddleback Church, James Lee Witt, Chief Executive Officer, James Lee Witt Associates, Jim Wilkinson, Chief of Staff for Treasury Secretary, U.S. Department of the Treasury, Robert B. Zelick, President, the World Bank, and on and on and on. All this may sound like a ridiculous absurdity, but the truth is, it is nothing less than global fascism. I would like to put an adjective there and say this is nothing less than satanic global fascism. Take a look at the full list, and if it hasn't already, it will soon become plain that the coming next U.S. presidential election is nothing less than a Hollywood farce and a charade orchestrated only for the ignorant public masses, with actors and candidates playing out their preordained roles in a modern colonial plot of subterfuge and deceit to transfer the United States of America back to the control of an apostate Protestant British sovereign who is not now only intent on reclaiming the U.S. and her possessions, but on owning the entire world. Go to genuinechristianitynow.com, read the article, watch America, and you will be blessed. God will bless you. Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen, to this broadcast today.